The Great Escape brings you.
Great failed escape.
The Great Escape doesn't bring you.
Yeah, that's better.
Phoenix City.
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. Ella is away back in the 09 this week, so I have Cam, Frosty and Dave sitting around the table with me. How we doing, gentlemen?
Not too bad.
I'm on leave, so yeah, I'm really, really good.
Having a good time?
Yeah, man.
Back at home.
4 weeks at home wasn't enough.
No, 4 weeks at home wasn't enough. At least these 2 weeks I don't have to work as well as look after kids.
Right. Yeah.
And I get to go out and do stuff, which is, makes a world of difference.
So you're just chilling and going to
Went to the movies.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What did you go and see?
We saw Red Shoes and the Seven Dwarfs.
Red Shoes.
Red Shoes and the Seven Dwarfs. Yep.
Sounds like one of those after midnight shows.
That sounds like Wizard of Oz mixed with Red Shoes, Snow White.
Uh-huh.
But they call it Red Shoes.
Yes. It's an integral part of the plot. I don't want to give it away in case you see it, because I know how much you like shit movies.
One of the witches in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I can't hear you at all, Frosty. You're going to need to lead into your mic if you want to talk about The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
And we don't want to talk about that.
Vital information.
I saw Trolls World Tour yesterday, and that was actually entertaining.
Trolls World Tour.
Yep.
Everything about this conversation makes me sad, Cam.
Yep.
Oh, I want to put a big asterisk on that because Cam's judgment of movies is...
I know, but he now thinks that Trolls World Tour, whatever that is, was a good movie. This is how low he's sunk.
Absolutely, but this is on a kid's movie level, you know? And you're sitting at someone who in that table with someone who likes cats, and that's not me. So I'm not at Pat's level yet.
Yeah, okay, Troll World Tour, is that on a Die Hard 5 level?
Die Hard 5, we've established, not a good film. But anyway, let's talk about some football. We were hoping to do a bit of a season or a half-season preview this week, where we're going to look at all the games coming up and how it's going to go. But it's looking increasingly unlikely that we will get a full season with all the news coming out of Victoria and Melbourne in particular, affecting those three clubs. So we're going to talk about that first instead, rather than jumping straight into football, which was the promise that we made to Frosty to get him here tonight. But let's start talking about Australia first. And it's really put a damper on the fact that we were going to restart the season next week with the Melbourne clubs currently unable to make their way out of Victoria into the New South Wales bubble, despite best efforts. Dave, do you want to talk us through what they tried to do to get them out?
Well, so there were a couple of stages of kind of restrictions coming into play in Melbourne. So at first there was basically New South Wales closing their border to Victoria, which in itself wasn't that problematic because you'd think that was largely just to stop people travelling. Like, they'd had problems with school holidays and that kind of stuff, a lot of people moving about the country. So shutting down the border made sense. But you would have thought at that stage exemptions were reasonably likely for people needing to travel, and they'd certainly have done that around sport previously. But shortly after that was announced, it was only 24, 48 hours later, they announced the entire of Melbourne was going into a 6-week lockdown, basically a return to what we had here of level 4, kind of a level 4 light in some ways, which was always what Australia had. But 6 weeks of that in Melbourne.
Well, they had police on some of the buildings.
Well, and they, the other states are very scared about that outbreak getting into the rest of the country. And sport has very much, the way the officials have been talking, taken a back seat in terms of those priorities of letting people travel, because they've seen that they're having an outbreak in Melbourne bigger than kind of the initial outbreak of coronavirus. And cases are already getting into the other states. They're already having issues with it getting to New South Wales, ACT, Northern Territory, which were free of cases. So the officials are very scared. But they did give essentially 24 hours notice of this lockdown and border closure coming into effect. So from all reports in the media, the teams got on buses and were going to try and make a run in buses across the border before it closed.
Which makes sense, right?
Which, yeah. And a lot of people living in Melbourne who have the ability to go stay with family elsewhere or whatever. I mean, much as I personally think if you're in a place that has an outbreak of the virus, you probably shouldn't be trying to flee it and potentially spread it. But whatever, they had a plan to get in buses and get across the border, which if they'd got across the border, they might not have had the kind of hotels and training facilities and stuff locked in, but at least they'd be on the right side of the border to avoid a 14-day quarantine period being required. And they didn't manage it because the FFA stepped in and said, actually, we've got a plane organised to Canberra for you. We've got it all okayed. It's at the airport now. Those buses you're on, let's redirect them to the airport and you can all get on the plane. And so, yeah, the teams basically did that. They got on the plane and the pilot said, we're not taking off. You're all getting back off the plane again.
Yeah, and what we heard on Monday night when this happened was that there was fog in Canberra that prevented them from taking off. Yeah. Which, as we record at the moment, Gregor Rourke in the last hour has done a press conference where he said that the actual reason why that plane didn't take off was because they didn't have approval from the ACT CMO.
What is CMO? Is Chief Medical Officer, the equivalent of Bloomfield for the ACT.
And so the plane didn't take off because they didn't have that approval, which when you're telling all your clubs to come and jump on a plane to get you out a mad dash, why would you do that if you don't have approval for the plane to fly?
Like, when they already had a plan in place to use the term beat the system, but that's exactly what they were doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is as well, the second it's a plane landing in an airport, there's a lot more scrutiny on flights at the moment than anything else, really. Yeah. Driving across the border, you might have still had to answer some questions and there might have been some discussions needing to be had to talk your way across, but I don't think there would have been anywhere near as much kind of prior approval required as you needed to have a private plane land into a place that's effectively closed off to the rest of the world. So by choosing to fly instead of the bus plan they originally had, I think they probably made it a little harder for themselves because you wouldn't have needed the CMO's direct approval to drive a bus across the border, particularly a border that wasn't specifically closed at that point. The New South Wales border was, or certainly lockdown was coming into place around that, but the ACT border not closed specifically. It is now, and pretty much everywhere is now to Victoria.
So Victoria's borders with everywhere around it closed.
And they can't fly out either. Yeah. They can't fly to other parts of the country.
Yeah, so as a result, the A-League are trying to get exemption to fly into Sydney with the three clubs. Currently, based on this press conference, that hasn't been approved. That currently sits with the New South Wales government. And even if they do come in, the advice is that the Melbourne teams would have to do a 14-day quarantine before they can play, which...
Yeah.
That's given that we're about to go and start now. If they fly out tonight, that's 1 week before the planned start of the season. 1 week during the planned start of the season, which takes out essentially time to play two games. Which for the other end, where the season has to be finished by the end of August under the current modified collective bargaining agreement, that makes that really difficult.
Well, and you say two games, but given the schedule some of these clubs need to be meeting, it's really three.
A midweek and then a weekend and a midweek. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And so that makes it extremely difficult to try and get the season finished with every team playing 26 games.
Well, there's certain teams that are going to get nailed by that really badly.
Yeah. And so that's why we went across when we did, so that we did our 2 weeks and we could come out and have 2 weeks of training and then move in to playing games.
And the other big problem here as well is even if they get that exemption, there is still a massive amount of uncertainty around whether or not they'd be allowed to train during those 2 weeks. The suggestions at the moment of restrictions being placed would stop them from training at all. Now, obviously, when we flew over, we managed to get some exemptions around that, being able to train during our quarantine period. But like I said earlier, that the officials are being very hesitant at the moment to allow those sorts of exemptions anymore because the situation has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these people aren't coming from New Zealand where there was no cases. They're coming from Victoria where your entire city has had to go back to level 4 because there's so many cases. Yeah. So I can see why the officials have been hesitant. So even if you imagine they flew tomorrow and did 14 days where they could train, that puts everything in doubt anyway. Imagine if they had to do 2 weeks where they couldn't train. The whole season would just be done.
They'd need another 2 weeks just to remember everyone's names.
Well, the thing is that the clubs would be quarantining together. So from what I've seen, the Victorian City would be in a facility together. I assume West United will be involved in that conversation as well, because even though they don't have Melbourne in their name, they're still a Melbourne team. And having Bissar Barisha back in the same facility as all his old Melbourne Victory teammates, Mark Rudan will be sweating bricks about losing him, I guess. But he just puts on a blue shirt and plays the rest of the season with the Victory. But they would be together, which again makes it incredibly difficult to run training sessions and and do tactics or anything like that when you're around all these other people all the time.
It brings up a really fascinating argument as well, which I think in some of the stuff you've read out around earlier to me, not necessarily to the pod, from that press conference, they talk about the possibility of playing games in Melbourne first against each other. Now, that obviously makes sense, but it also raises the possibility of you should actually just stay in Melbourne longer, because at the moment in Melbourne, while they're on lockdown, they are still training. They're allowed to train. They have exemptions within Victoria to still be training under the current lockdown.
Yeah.
So those clubs are still in training every day. They're still doing all of that, and maybe going, let's just wait out 10 days in Melbourne and see if the panic has died down enough that we're not agreeing to something that's going to mean we can't train for 14 days. Because I think once you've agreed to that with New South Wales or ACT or wherever you end up going, they're not going to go, oh yeah, it's got a bit better, so we'll let you off the 14-day quarantine.
No.
But 10 days from now, you know, if cases are dropping in Victoria and things are going well, maybe you'll be in a better position to get an exemption, particularly since you've essentially been isolated, you've been in lockdown, you've been returning negative tests every few days or whatever they've been doing. Maybe that's better.
Yeah, for me, it's just if you can throw two or three negative tests in there for all your team, suddenly things start looking a bit better. And if you have any kind of provenance on showing that your team has been in quarantine and they've been isolated, it probably might look a bit better.
But it's a gamble, right? You might go, let's hope for that, and actually the cases in Melbourne keep spiralling out of control, the lockdown's not that effective, things get worse.
And exemptions don't get granted.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're in an even worse position. So it's a real gamble. But I think the fact they're hinting at playing some games in Melbourne first before they come says to me they're considering that actually they'll look at those games that those teams need to play, play those first, take some time in Melbourne and see if the situation changes. Because if they can't get them over there without the exemptions as they look at the moment, the season doesn't finish. Or you've got to put a giant asterisk next to it where you've got, you know, an 11-team league that you finish without three of the teams.
Mm. Yeah, and that's probably a distinct possibility at this point in time.
Two of them in the top six.
Yeah, two in the top six.
Yeah, so you play out a season with the eight teams that you can get to play and you leave those Melbourne teams behind and just finish a season without them. I don't know if that will fulfil the Fox requirements or not, but...
The Fox requirement, I bet, probably just requires games, a certain number of games. So you get the three teams in Melbourne playing their own little mini tournament, essentially delivering content.
Oh, true.
And play each other three times each.
City is going to make the playoffs. City has to travel.
No. So in this situation, let's talk hypothetically for a second.
Yeah.
We exclude the Melbourne teams from the league. We take all of their games out.
Yeah.
All of them. We exclude all those points from every single team, right?
No one, because we can all see the horror on your face, Cam. No one's saying that's a good idea.
No,
it's an awful idea.
But that's what you have might to do. Be in a position where it's don't deliver on the contract or do that. And you might have to do it.
City have to play both the Melbourne teams still.
Yeah.
Which leaves them with one game. Right?
Sure.
So they play those two games next week and then they fly out, isolate for 2 weeks and then play their last game against whoever that happens to be. They get their 26. They're in a position where that's possible.
Yeah, City, it's fine for City.
Yeah.
But Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are in the top six currently.
They are in the top six.
They've got six games to play.
They have six games to play. They do. They are screwed no matter what. Honestly, there's no way they can get their six games in. There's no way they can get their six games in and isolate for 2 weeks. It's just not within the time frame given, and the fact that they're already playing every three, four, or five days.
And so in this hypothetical situation, you have a Melbourne mini tournament like Super Rugby Aotearoa. You play that with the teams that you can play games, and you deliver something there, and you play games to fulfil the Fox contract, and then you take all of their games out, and you play a season with eight teams, and you only include eight teams, and we're back to 2005 version of the A-League, where every team plays what would it be, 21 games or something like that?
What you might be able to do is, because they haven't nailed down the final series yet.
Yeah.
You go, okay, we pull those three teams out. Right, it's not just a best of six little thing. It's like we start playing, you know, an expanded finals.
Well, I think at this point in time, you're not looking to add games in any way, shape or form because trying to fit games in is the problem. Well,
but if you cut those three teams out,
sure,
then you lose a pile of games anyway.
Yeah, so you have to make up those numbers. Those games,
and then
yeah.
you go, we'll just do and you can, an eight teams knockout final series.
Yeah, if you pair just to the number of games you need to fulfill the contract, yeah, it's doable.
But that is awful. And City would protest it because they're a good team with a sitting second with a great shot of finishing second. So yeah, they would and they could fulfill their games even if they sit out to 2 weeks.
Well, in theory, you know, they've got enough points that they could, if they won those two games, they could default the other one and still make top two. That's very realistic, but it leaves the FFA in a hole with their contract with Fox, potentially, depending on the number of games they've promised. Mm. So how do you pad out one game? That's a hell of an ask.
And just squad friendly.
One point each. Or do you get an All-Stars game? Or
Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Can you imagine?
Wow, it becomes a horror show either way.
I mean, it is a horror show right now. It's not become it is a horror show, right?
Well, I mean, at this point, you never know. They might get the approval. It might actually be okay. They might be allowed to train. Everything might go relatively smoothly.
But even then,
you probably won't.
But even then, you're condensing victory six games down into 2 weeks. To finish the season, and that's horrific for them. The A-League squads just do not have the depth to be able to do that.
They do not.
And they've never been designed that way. So
West United particularly don't, in trying to get their six games into the...
Yeah, they're the ones who have six to play. I think Melbourne Victory have got four or five. Yeah, five.
Yeah.
Cam can tell us for sure.
Yeah,
they are gone.
Yeah.
They are gone. So they're sitting on 20 points.
Okay.
And sixth place is on 27. So the chance of them actually making the playoffs, in sixth place with that many games left is...
I think Western United are the most interesting one in this discussion because they have the highest number of games to play, equal with us, but they are in the six. And any feasible thing you might have done to go, we need to just play the games and we can't get all the teams together... taking the six and doing something with them would make the most sense, right?
Yeah.
But you can't do that. Like you say, with City, you maybe could have made it work for them, but you're not going to be able to make it work for United and have the teams who are in seventh or eighth and potentially could catch Western United be happy about it.
Yeah, because like Adelaide is sitting on the same number of points as Western United. They've just got a worse goal difference. And Western Sydney is only a point behind them. So, you know, and Western Sydney's got five games. Adelaide's got five games. United's got six games. So there's enough play within that scope to say they can't just take Western United and play those finals.
Yeah. I mean, the FFA are their own worst enemy here, where they've created a situation themselves where they're having to try and work out how to do this stuff from their own negligence. Like, it's not like it was a surprise to a lot of other codes, this get out of by the end of Monday thing. I think I read that there were 8 V8 supercar teams and 12 cars that made it across the border.
Just imagining a Smokey and the Bandit run across the border.
The AFL teams did it.
Yep.
Yeah, the AFL teams did it last week.
They were gone when it started to spiral.
Some of them were, but they still had players in Melbourne who they literally just drove across the border. They got in cars and drove.
Yeah.
They didn't have race cars, man.
Exactly what the A-League teams were planning on doing.
Yeah.
Until they got stopped by the FFA. By all accounts, it sounds like the teams had come up with this plan themselves. They'd got the buses, they'd sorted it. And then when the FFA stepped in is when it went to shit, which is just, it's so sad.
It's kind of peak A-League.
Can I add a very sarcastic... No.
you look at the fact that we had trouble getting into New South Wales as well. Obviously, we were a slightly different case coming from another country.
Yep.
But the AFL have been working for a long time and getting their clubs travelling around. And it's certainly not perfect. There are some states that aren't letting them play and all of that. But they've worked out a hub system and they've got it working. And they've been working with the authorities and largely getting what they want.
And the Warriors, too.
Delayed. The Warriors, same thing. You know, they were in the same situation as us, and the NRL managed to get it to work. With us, every time we booked the blimmin' flights, it was like, oh no, actually, wait another three days. And, you know, the number of times the club was ready to leave and then got told with 24 hours notice, actually, you're not going, was embarrassing. And by all accounts, the FFA were the ones helping lead that in Sydney as well. And so you've got to wonder whether they really are capable of organising this, because at this point you've got to get the exemptions through, you've got to work with the officials, and you've got to wrangle all the clubs, all the teams, all of the logistics around that, and design an entirely new tournament again, basically. I just don't see it happening. I think the reality is we get to the 17th of July when we're due to play our next game, and we probably play it, But we won't have any idea whether or not that game's going to mean anything because everything else is still going to be up in the air.
Yeah, that's fair. We're in a good position where we don't actually have to play any of the Melbourne teams. So of all the teams that are impacted by this, probably least impacted. Like our six games could definitely go ahead.
Unless someone rules that they're all automatic defaults and gives them 3 points.
Oh, that's
3-0 win.
Hmm. I mean, that's hypothetical and ridiculous, but...
Are we any more ridiculous than the rest of what's going
on? Well, the one most realistic thing that we've ignored entirely is what are we going to do when a player tests positive?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is going to happen. That is definitely going to happen.
You know, what happens then? All of this quarantine, all this negative tests and getting exemptions all goes to shit. Mm. Particularly if you're putting all three of those teams in a bubble together, one player inside that bubble...
Yep.
It's done.
Yeah, I think the FFA at this point, we talked about a hypothetical, but I imagine that they are actually working out a way to finish the season without the Victoria teams because that's the only way that you can guarantee that you can finish the season is to play all the games in New South Wales with those clubs that can get there.
Can I say, that makes perfect sense to us, contingencies, but that's one thing the FFA haven't really shown that they've done anything about, like planning for contingencies.
No, I disagree with that. From what they've said, at least, we don't know if there's been a... From what they've said, when they put this current draw into place, that's why we don't know yet what all of these games come in.
Yeah.
They've said that they have multiple different versions of the draw based on what happens. And so that's all to do with border closure, not being able to get teams and things like that. So they've said that they have put that in place. And if they have... All they are doing now is enacting one of those situations.
Yeah, but those contingencies, I mean, the one thing you could be sure of is, or need to have plans for, is outbreaks in particular areas.
And that's exactly what they're set up for. So that's why having an outbreak in Victoria means that they will have a plan in place to do this with it.
But all they've shown is that they've got a plan in place to rearrange the games. Didn't have a plan in place to do anything with the teams because it didn't work.
Absolutely.
They just winged it and it turns out they didn't have the plan.
Totally. But in terms of the draw, there is something in place. They've said that.
But that's not a contingency. That's just rearranging the draw.
That's a contingency. That's literally a contingency, isn't it? It's a contingency for one portion of FFA.
In a strict definition, yes. But is it enough of a contingency to make it work? Probably not. Just rearranging the games probably isn't enough at this point.
They're different departments of FFA. One is the competitions department, which organises the games and books stadiums and things like that. The other is the logistics department that makes all that stuff happen.
I think that the key difference here is, I mean, you know, we heard Rob talk about it and I'm sure it's true, is that there are different iterations of the draw. And I think that definitely is a thing that's in place that I'm sure they could have enacted different versions of. What I don't think exists is a contingency for we can't have a third of the teams here.
Or what happens if there's an outbreak somewhere? What do we do with the teams there? How do we get them out? How do we have that sorted?
And what happens when we lose two entire weeks where a team can't train?
Yeah.
Three teams can't train.
I mean, that would be your like nth case down the road. Yep. It's basically like, for me, making sure that those teams are there to actually play and having facilities arranged that you can basically relocate sides to another place so that they can still train, they can still be isolated. That seems like the logical thing. You know, what if there was an outbreak in Sydney?
Mm. Well, and there are cases in Sydney.
Yeah, it seems likely to happen now that the outbreak in Melbourne, people will have left in that 24 hours that do have COVID and have gone to New South Wales.
And not even that. This morning, the reports out of the Sydney Morning Herald were highlighting a domestic flight, full domestic flight, that was from Melbourne to Sydney that did not get any screening when it landed. Mm. They let everyone off that entire plane without screening them at all and realised 4 hours later and had to go track them all down again.
Yep.
So you've already got that happening. That's only just after the things have come into place and they've been saying we're being extra vigilant, rah, 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 and you've got a whole plane load that they let out. So, you know, there are cases getting into Sydney. They're already seeing some of that, but then there's also just slip-ups that are occurring. I mean, you're seeing that all over the world and New South Wales is not going to be immune to that. So
it really does take just one person.
Exactly.
It does just take one person and it's all over.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
I think the worst part about all of this for the FFA and the league is, you know, we're in that awkward limbo space already between who runs the league these days. You know, it was an independent league, and I think rightly everyone's kind of stepped back a little and go, FFA, please help us. We need a guiding voice here to try and sort this out. And they've stepped in and taken over a bit more management than they probably expected to have of this season. But you've still got all those voices around that table who all need to agree. And like you say, you know, someone like City have a big voice at that table. They've got a lot of the money, they've got a lot of the sway, and they are not going to be happy about anything that excludes Melbourne teams. You've got a new club in Western United who have the most games to play, are in the six, so have some strong arguments around why they should absolutely be included in something. And, you know, it's their first season, so it really matters to them. You know, imagine if they won the whole darn thing first time out, that would be a big deal, but they won't. But you've got a lot of clubs in there, and you're not going to get them all to agree, and the FFA are going to be put in that position of who do they listen to and who do they not. And ignoring someone like a City with all their money, it's going to be very difficult. Mm-hmm. Ignoring clubs around the six is going to be very hard to explain to the public and the fans why you've excluded a team that was arguably in the final series, but
unless it's the Phoenix.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's going to be a really hard one because there's no good answer there, and they're going to be the ones stuck in the position of having to make it when actually they thought they were kind of done and it was an independent league now. Good luck to them.
Should we jump to talking about the Phoenix games as if they're going to go ahead as they are, because we were thinking of doing that anyway?
Well, I think they will. I think we'll get to see some football, which is exciting.
Cam, do you want to talk us through the order? I think the order's been confirmed now from what I can
see. Yes, so what the Phoenix have announced is that we open up on Friday in our makeup game against Sydney, which we were supposed
to. Friday the
17th of July. So this was the game that was supposed to play when lockdown happened, basically. And then obviously we didn't get that one played because we went into isolation and then, you know, came home again. Yeah. So that's at New Zealand time, 9:30 on Friday the 17th of July, followed by the next Thursday we play Perth, and that's again 9:30 p.m. New Zealand time, followed by 3 days later we're playing Sunday, July 26th. That's 5:30 p.m. New Zealand kickoff time, so really, really good. We're playing against Adelaide United. I think the Phoenix said today on their Facebook page that they're planning something for that game in particular.
They're planning something for all of them, but it's because it's at a different time zone, a different time period.
So doing a kind of family kind of thing for that, which would be quite good. So keep an eye on the next Facebook page. Friday the 31st of July, we play Western Sydney. And then Wednesday the 5th of August, we're playing Brisbane. And we finish off on Sunday the 9th of August, playing the Jets.
So, like, looking at this group of games that we have, Sydney is obviously the hardest fixture first up, so fatigue won't be an issue. Match fitness will, but not fatigue. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, I mean, I haven't seen many of these teams play, but judging on what the table looks like, these are all pretty good games. They're
all winnable. Perth would be the hardest.
Sure.
In my opinion, but they've also been hit by players not coming back.
Right, yeah.
So it sounds like Castro might not be playing too.
Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of, again, assuming the league goes ahead with all games being played, every team ends up on 26 games, it looks like it's relatively achievable to catch Melbourne City and try and finish second.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Second is definitely on
the
cards.
If we bring anything like the form we had before lockdown and you know, all of this hit, absolutely, just no doubt in my mind, we can do very well out of those games.
And I think we can potentially only be stronger than we were then, because we have our entire squad coming back to play football.
Yep.
And no other team other than I think Sydney FC can claim that.
Yeah, and I think I wasn't sure about Sydney either. Definitely the other nine teams can't.
I thought City, have they dropped someone as well?
So as far as I'm aware, City have. I couldn't tell exactly who off the top of my head without looking, but Western Sydney have got 17 players.
Wow.
17 left.
How many games have to play? Five. Four or five, isn't it?
I'll tell you in a second.
It's not three. They're not one of the three clubs, are they? Yeah, so they've got
five left. They've got 17 players. They've got
in a tight schedule.
They're going to have to promote three. For minimum three from their youth academy, and considering that your turnarounds, as we've just seen, are 3, 4, 5 day turnarounds, there's going to be a lot of issues.
Brisbane Roar don't have a coach currently. Yeah. New coach to get in there because Robbie Fowler's not coming back.
Adelaide as well.
Yeah, yep. And when you talk about depth as well, what they've noticed in the other leagues that started up, Bundesliga, particularly EPL as well, and La Liga, there's a lot of soft tissue injuries.
Oh, absolutely.
A pile of soft tissue.
Which is exactly what you expect.
Yeah. So that is going to happen. It's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to everybody. And you've got 17 players in your squad. You are going to have a lot of issues.
You're going to be very jagged, especially when you're talking like five reserves. So that's 16 players already that you're expecting to get on the field, and you've only got one extra.
Yeah. And so to bring it back to the Phoenix, I think that even if we don't hit that form, we don't hit that same level of football that we were because we have been playing half a season, three quarters of a season, and have built that up and built those partnerships up. Even if we can get some of that coming back.
We should still be.
Even if we can build up that De Villa-Hooper partnership or De Villa-Ball or the Ball-Hooper partnership, any one of those guys clicking will score two goals a game, and that's probably going to be good enough to win fixtures.
Have you seen photos of Hooper?
Trim.
Yeah, he is looking in fantastic nick. That was what we were hoping was going to show up at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Found some form, and he still looked like he was carrying a couple extra, and it's like now he looks fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I just hope he doesn't hurt himself or do, oh God, find me some wood.
The whole table.
There's some sitting on your shoulders, mate.
Feeling it now.
And yeah, I think you get 70% of what we saw from the team before we went into this, and they're all six of those games are winnable.
What? I certainly think that we've got a great chance of finishing second. 100% we're in the playoffs. I can't see us missing out on the playoffs.
Yeah. No.
Even if they do, you have to exclude Melbourne teams. It actually kind of benefits us to a degree. There's no reason why we couldn't get an home semi or home final.
One thing that's kind of been a pattern with the Bundesliga and the Premier League is that the leagues have started off really slowly and that the teams have been scrappy, it's been slow. One thing that plays into for us, I think.
Against
anyone, just because we've been willing to play with the ball at our feet, we've been willing to be patient. I mean, and we don't make those stupid mistakes that the Knicks of yore used to do all the time.
Touch that wood again, Frosty.
I'm holding on to the
wood. On your shoulders. It's a big lump of it. It's wearing a pair of glasses right now.
But no, you're right. You're right in that.
And I think that really will play into our hands. It's every chance if we play with that control.
And I think having the Sydney game first up, where it's so unknown what anything is going to look like, what the quality of football like, what the starting 11s are going to look like, I think it actually suits us doing now versus doing it 4 months ago. I think that back then you would say we'd probably make a good go of it, but maybe not fall on the right side of it. But this time it's probably 50-50 how that thing's going to go, given the situation.
Yeah, I think if it continued on and the season had played out home and away like it was should have done, then I think we finished second on the form that we've shown since round five.
Yep.
I think we're a better side than City, and we're certainly better than the teams that are chasing up behind us. So, which is why I say we probably get 3 to 4 wins out of the games that are left.
Yeah.
Sydney's, when we played them at home, that was an outstanding game of football. When we played them away, they didn't outperform us. They beat us 2-1 that day, but they didn't outperform us.
Yeah.
So we definitely have a team that can compete with them. This is a very odd situation. It's really hard to see how it goes other than saying, I actually think we'll probably nullify each other and be a draw. And I'm okay with that.
Not a bad
straight
result.
Out of the box. Because of a scrappy game of football, a scrappy nil-all draw against the top team out of the box, that's actually decent.
Well, and the other thing is that Sydney have six games as well. So at the top, basically if they're playing Sydney levels.
And they win all those games.
Yeah, they start winning at least most of them.
Good for us.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to really make us look good, I think.
And I think the interesting one with Sydney, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't believe they're in camp with each other.
No, they'll be living at home.
They probably don't need to be.
No, exactly. So I it'll be interesting to see whether that's in our favour or not. I think, our whole team training together, living together, certainly will be creating a bit of a culture in there. Whether that culture is better for us than the culture we've had previously, I don't know. I like to think it would be. I think there'll be a decent amount of togetherness
camaraderie
that comes with that, rather than obviously living in Sydney and having cases there and all of that kind of stuff going on around you and dealing with your family and all of that. Could be hurting Sydney in that sense. But equally, our players have, you know, kids and all of that, and they're not seeing their families and all of that. So that'll be weighing on them as well. So I think it could go either way there, but I think that there's the potential for that kind of essentially us being in an extended training camp to benefit us, and we could come out firing a lot stronger than they will and not kind of suffer from that scrappiness. But I guess we'll see when it comes.
It's kind of a weird tangent, but it's kind of an almost an interesting case study for if we get a W League side, because they'll be based in Sydney. Yep. It'll be this sort of exact thing. And you can see it going either way. No middle ground. It'll either be fantastic or it'll be a train wreck.
Yeah, I think the closest comparison I can make to this is a training camp and a World Cup camp when you're heading to World Cup,
yep,
where you go into training for a month beforehand and you're playing games against yourselves first of all, then you play friendlies against other teams, and then you go into a World Cup where you've got to hit the ground running. I think that's a similar situation where you are, again, away from your families, all that kind of thing. A lot less uncertainty about the world. You're at a World Cup. There's all that excitement. This is just standard A-League. The players have done this before. This is different. This is not as good as a normal one. So I think that might be the detracting point of it. But if they can treat it like a World Cup camp where you go into training, you do your training, you come out and you have to win that first game. Don't win your first game and you're all of a sudden in a lot of shit. I think that hopefully will be – and a lot of these guys, Ufuk's coached teams at the Olympics at least. I can't remember if it's under-20s as well. But
yeah, under-20s, under-17s, I think.
All the young guys we've had from Australia have gone to those qualifiers, if not World Cups, and the same with some of our young guys. So hopefully they can bring some of those experiences to what they're doing and make it like one of those training camps and use it to their advantage.
Well, and I think like Ufi's definitely a guy who will be instilling that in them.
Yeah.
But I think the key thing for me that says they'll be treating it more like that World Cup camp than, you know, anything else, is that these guys, like other teams, had the option to not come back. You know, you're talking about those players, you know, guys like Fowler who've just gone, you know what? Nah, I'm out. And that shows where their drive was at and where that kind of team culture was at. We have not had any of our players drop off. You know, we had players back in Europe and, you know, over in South America, and they've all chosen to come back just to do this. And that says to me, like, why would you come back if you weren't coming back to win the darn thing? Like, you felt like you had unfinished business and you wanted to come back and finish it. And that says a lot to me about the mentality they've brought into that. And that obviously was the mentality when they made that decision. Hopefully 2+ weeks in camp together and missing their families hasn't turned that on its head, like we've seen with some people in other sports where they've, you know, found that homesickness and stuff too much.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean, with Gary Hooper, particularly Gary Hooper, is prepared to do that. The guy could have picked up a contract in a lot of different places over in Europe. He didn't have to come back. But the fact that, and obviously with the, you know, there's the issues around the pay with Fox and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of external issues going on, and any one of those would have been a justifiable reason to say, you know what, mate, I'm not going to put that effort in. And you wouldn't have genuinely blamed them for doing so. But he's still gone, I'm doing it. So that says a lot about Ufi. That says an awful lot about the culture and the respect that the players and the playing squad have for him as a person and a coach. That's really, really good.
You look at how the nick that Davila and Hooper are in too. They've obviously, it's not been a kind of vacillating kind of like, do I go back? Oh, I might as well. They've obviously been working really, really hard over the lockdown.
Mm. They certainly didn't treat lockdown the way that most of us treated lockdown, that's for sure.
I was getting way more exercise, pal.
Oh, really? I was eating all of the food for most of it.
I was going from zero to some.
That's an infinite increase.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I guess the thing with the training camp is you've just got to hope that they keep all the golf cart keys locked away and safe from all the players. Because that would be remiss to not mention that, but surely that's at the back of their minds in the camp, that they cannot let that happen again. And those guys have got severe suspensions and won't be playing for another month or two.
I'm quite glad it happened though.
It happened last time round.
When it wasn't, you know, when the game time wasn't about to happen. This is, you know, they should have got a nasty scare about that and they'll be taking this really seriously.
Yeah, and I, you know, the situation was obviously slightly different. Like that happened after they knew they were coming home. But let's hope that this new uncertainty that suddenly created doesn't lead to any of that sort of vibe creeping back in, because we, you know, in the next couple of weeks, there's the strong possibility we are going to be looking at a situation where they're going to be playing games, but they might not matter. And they, you know, that'll start to creep in.
We've got 6 games against teams that won't be impacted. So as far as a player's mentality has to be concerned, and this is what the coaching staff will be driving, is that we're playing six games. Yep. We're playing a minimum of six games that we will play because those teams don't matter for us.
Speaking of coming back, can we just say, hey, Louis Fenton's back? Which is fantastic timing for the Knicks.
Payne's out.
Payne's out. Losing a reserve keeper, not so much, but certainly losing our right back, big. Louis's back. Hopefully he can keep himself taped together because, one, he's a nice guy, but two, also that's a real contentious place.
Just need four games, right? Four games out of him and then Payne's back and then we can have the choice of them. So
not a bad position to be in.
Yeah, nice for a change.
Yeah, having a full squad to choose from eventually will be really nice.
And not having to force some guy to play right back just out of nowhere.
Payne did a good job of it though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he is a genuine A-League right back.
Which makes it even worse that he's gone and done something like this and got himself a suspension.
He's got to be kicking himself.
Oh, absolutely. First year of A-League contract as well, so.
Oof.
Yes. Is there anything else football to talk about that we haven't covered so far? I feel like we've talked about something, very few things in a lot of depth tonight. But
Bundesliga.
We've told you can have your own pod.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
And I offered to do it with you.
I know, I heard. I did listen.
It'll be a Munich and Liverpool loving, and people would not want to listen to that, but all good.
Full read all the time.
We mentioned, I think, last week when you went on that Sarpreet won the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich.
He played one game.
Yeah, he won it.
I think he actually played 4 minutes. It was really a ridiculous amount of time to win a medal for.
Yeah.
Like other leagues have, I think the EPL has a 5-match limit. You have to play 5 matches to qualify for a medal.
Yeah, just get on the field, mate.
Just get on the field once and you got a medal. I mean, great for him. Don't get me wrong, that's fantastic. He's been around the squad all season, but that's still quite a low threshold.
Picked up a winner's medal for the Bundesliga 3 as well. So,
I mean, to be fair, if you took the field for a team that won any league in the world, you'd tell everyone you met in a pub.
100%. Globally,
you
know? Oh, yeah.
You would.
Bragging rights are there.
The term winner would be the term you would use, right? So, fair enough.
Yep, that's 100% the bragging rights were earned. There is no argument. You get on the field, you've been in the squad. The squad is a reason why you win a title. But to win the medal is another step again. So, it's just, it's great for him. Don't get me wrong, I think it's fantastic. But it's just a very small number of appearances to play.
Yeah, and he really needs a transfer to get some game time because he didn't even go back to the reserves. It didn't make the bench for the last game, so he's just getting no game time at all.
Yeah.
His predecessor Meriton Chobani basically had the same thing. He'd just be on the bench all day for the first, never play for the seconds. He ended up going and playing for Wolves.
Yeah, game time is more than.
Well, there's another club that plays in yellow and black that he could certainly be welcome at if he wanted to come and get some game time. So
I wouldn't mind any of those players to be quite honest.
If we get our pick and choice, I'm not choosing Sarpreet. I'm taking Thomas Müller or someone like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I think
from one Louis to another,
it actually opens a really big question about the whole transfer of someone like Libby Kakache moving over to Europe,
because
this is about when he would have been moving, right?
Well, okay,
there was interest. There's and wide chat about him moving in this northern summer, but the fact that COVID's hit genuinely looks like. But why would you go now?
Yeah, you surely really wait 12 time. More months,
yeah.
right?
And
let some of the uncertainty fade.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a shame timing wise for him because he was playing so well.
It's a good thing for the Phoenix though.
Well, is it? We would have. His stocks were very high. We would have got a decent whack of cash for him if he had decided to go. Now that money has certainly desiccated somewhat, if not completely dried up. And interest in spending money or getting overseas players.
Certainly on an unproven overseas player.
Yeah, and his interest of going over to Italy would probably be the prime candidate.
Mm.
Yeah, that's got to evaporate as well.
Yeah. And that's where we'll wrap up for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to do a little bonus for all of our patrons. We're going to talk about the proposed switch to playing the A-League in the winter. So if you want to listen to that and you are a patron, jump onto our Patreon. Or if you want to sign up for $5 a month, you'll hear that as well. But from the four of us, we'll be back next week with hopefully a match preview, some starting 11s against Sydney FC and all that kind of talk that we've really desperately been missing out on the last 4 months. months. So mm-hmm. I know Frosty is itching at the bit to talk about some football. So
itching at the bit.
Is that combining to...
it's a metaphor, bro. That is a metaphor. Lovely. Well done.
All right. Well, that's all for this week. Thank
chafing.
You so, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.
Bye. I need to know about your chafing.
Stop bro. Itching your bit.
Yeah.
Chomping at the bit brings you. Fucking nailed it. That's it. Ready? Ready? Itching to go brings you. I worked out what I did wrong.
Phoenix organising. Well, FFA organising game on date night brings you.
Mad Max Fury Road towards the New South Wales border brings you.
Smokey and the Bandit brings you.
Yeah, that's good. Fast and the Furious brings you.
Well, not fast. And very furious.
Well, speed brings you.
Yeah. Kind of Reeves would have sorted that the situation. He would have been like, you know what, guys?
We're jumping over this.
Yeah. Mm.